It is hard to believe that this is the final home game in the Big House. We call it Senior Day now. We've got a number of seniors that will be playing their final game in the Big House. We'll talk to some of them coming up. We've got Caron Higdon, Grant Perry, Chase Winovich, Tyree Kinnell, talking about their final trip down the tunnel, what it means, and what the last 4 to 5 years have meant to these guys. We'll have more of this and a little breakdown of Rutgers and a look ahead to Indiana, and of course, our trip to Columbus, always looming here on In the Trenches.
Let's go In the Trenches with John Jansen. The former Wolverines captain and Michigan Sports Hall of Famer will take you inside the locker room with players and coaches.
Michigan means everything. I now bleed, you know, maize and blue.
I know it's definitely going to hit me walking down that tunnel and going out there to touch the banner one last time, seeing the team, and just as you come out, just feeling the electricity of the crowd.
I wouldn't want to be anywhere else. You know, I love this place.
Once again, here's John Jansen.
Well, the Wolverines come out of Piscataway at 9-1 atop the Big Ten East, at number 4 in the playoff rankings. And there is so much more to come in the next 2 to 3 weeks with the rivalry games that come at the end of the year. Obviously for Michigan, it's the game and Ohio State. But you've got rivalry games all over college football. And we also have championship weekend following the football season. Brian, before we get to start talking about championships and Ohio State, let's get to this week's 7 from 77.
And before we get to that, John, how can you forget about the SEC Exhibition Week this week?
Oh, I know. Alabama and the Citadel. Woohoo! Can't wait to see that one at noon. Breathtaking football.
Upset alert. Well, all right. Let's close the books on Rutgers with number 1 on today's 7 from 77. What stands out to you, positive, and even if there's a negative or two sprinkled in there, about what happened Saturday in your favorite place, Piscataway?
Well, I'm going to start with the negative. And the big negative coming out of that game was the fact that we gave up an 80-yard run to a team that has struggled to run the football, a team that has struggled to move the football, but that's going to happen at times. Going into something more positive is the fact that this Michigan defense, whenever they've been faced with adversity, whenever something has gone wrong, they have come to the sidelines. Don Brown works his magic. He sprinkles it on his players. They go out there and they fix things. They make things better. And when you look at the numbers, all right, Rutgers had 11 first downs to Michigan's 24. They were 4 of 12 on third down efficiency. They had a 200 less yards of total offense, 59 yards passing. Our defensive secondary, the ability for our front seven to put pressure on the quarterback has been tremendous, and it's probably been, in my opinion, the best thing that our defense has done. The most consistent that our defense has been is in defending passes and not allowing yards through the air. So I'm discouraged by the fact that we gave up that 80-yard run, but I'm encouraged because every time that something happens, the Michigan defense stands up, takes control of a football game, and basically gives the offense good field position, gives the offense another opportunity to go out there and make good on these opportunities.
One last time, where's Rutgers located?
Piscataway. And I tell you what, everybody wants to know what the one good thing, if there is, about Piscataway. And I have to say, the best thing about Piscataway is leaving Piscataway with a victory.
Scott Frost. All right, moving on to number 2.
You like those fires early this week.
Yeah, I mean, it's November. Let's go. All right, number 2, Michigan, Indiana. It's been close in recent years. So what similarities are there to this Indiana team versus some of the previous ones that have hung around with the Wolverines?
Well, when you look at this Indiana team, they're an up-tempo offense. They like to get up there and run as many plays as they possibly can. And that is something that's been a trait of this Indiana team for more than just a couple of years. And when you look at even last year, all right, this was an inferior team to Michigan in terms of talent, but they took us to overtime. And I look at that game, and there was a play, and this one has been etched in my mind, and I've talked about it a number of times, but Donovan Peoples-Jones was wide open in the very first series. and he was just overthrown. If that ball is completed, I think that game is completely broken open and Michigan routes Indiana. When you fast forward to this year, now we have a quarterback in Shea Patterson who is accurate downfield. We saw last week them take more shots downfield to Nico Collins, Donovan Peoples-Jones. Tariq Black is back, and that just adds another weapon. And then you saw the use of the tight ends. There are so many different ways on offense that we can attack this Indiana defense. Their weaknesses on their defense. So this should be a very offensive heavy game for us. Patrick Ramsey was one of my teammates with the Washington Redskins. Peyton Ramsey, the quarterback for Indiana, has thrown 17 touchdowns, but he's thrown 11 interceptions. There is going to be an opportunity for this defense to continue to be able to be dominant in the secondary. We've given up 4 touchdowns, receiving touchdowns. We've also taken 4 pick sixes back to the house. So we've got a net of 0. And I guarantee you, Don Brown, Brandon Watson, Tyree Kinnell, all of these guys would love to go into that Ohio game knowing that they've scored more points through the air from passes that opposing quarterbacks have thrown to them than they've given up. And so when I look at this Indiana team that is coming to Michigan this year, I see a team that really has not much chance because the circumstances are so different. We're playing them the week before Ohio State. We're playing them as we are atop the Big Ten East. We are number 4 in the playoff rankings. There are so many things that this Michigan football team has in front of them that there is absolutely no chance that Indiana comes to the Big House and escapes or steals a victory or anything from Michigan.
Number 3, a pretty anticlimactic Tuesday night in the college football playoff ranking unveiling. Not many changes. So we've talked about this a little bit, John. If it's 12-1 Alabama, 12-1 Georgia, 13-0 Clemson, 13-0 Notre Dame, and Michigan wins out, finishes 12-1, there's a lot of question about what 4 teams will get into that scenario. Do you have any concern if Michigan wins out that they would be left out if that all were to play out that way?
No, I don't. I think if Michigan wins out and they win the Big Ten championship, they're going to be in the college football playoffs. I think Alabama is going to be in the college football playoffs. I think Clemson will be in the college football playoffs. When you take a look at the other 2 teams in terms of Notre Dame and Georgia, I find it hard, and this is just from me, when you think about good and bad losses, the loss to Notre Dame has proven to be a good loss, especially if Notre Dame goes 12-0. And Brian, I hate to correct you, especially like this, but Notre Dame can't go 13-0. They do not have a championship game. And that is one thing when you talk about those 2 teams. And I'm just going to talk about Georgia and Notre Dame for a second. There is a feeling in college football, and a lot of the people that are going to be in that decision-making room for the college football playoffs, that committee, there's a feeling that Notre Dame had a chance to join the Big Ten. They had a chance to join a conference. They had a chance to get that 13th data point, but they feel they are super special. And there's a lot of people that have a feeling that because they didn't, in a situation like this, it should be used as a negative for Notre Dame. Why are they not in a conference? They should be. It would help with scheduling. It would help with everything in college football. But no, Notre Dame thinks they're special. Georgia is a very good football team. But when they lost to LSU, they not only lost, but they were dominated from the very first snap of that game to the end. Not necessarily as bad as Ohio State was last year against Iowa, but it was still a domination. And yes, LSU is a better team this year than Iowa was last year. But when you look at that game, and you look, and they made that statement last year, it's not only who you lost to, but it's how you lost. They got absolutely dominated. So over the course of 13 weeks, they were, on one of those weeks, not prepared and got dominated. Michigan, on the other hand, didn't get dominated in their loss to Notre Dame. And it proved to be a very good loss because Notre Dame ran the table. LSU didn't run the table. So I find, having said all that, I find it very hard to believe that if Michigan goes 12-1, they beat Northwestern in the Big Ten championship game, and it will help if Michigan routes them in the Big Ten championship game. But it, I don't think it matters, because it, the Big Ten champ at that point, if it's Michigan, is going to be playoff bound.
Number four, you love to hate Ohio State. As a player, was it tough this week in the season, the week before Ohio State week, not to look ahead?
No, it really wasn't, because you knew there was an excitement to come, and you knew Christmas was right around the corner. But you have to take care of business this week. In 97, it was we ended up with Penn State, Wisconsin, and Ohio State. And so it was a little bit easier to stay focused, because Wisconsin was a good team, and we knew going to Wisconsin that we were going to have to play extremely well to win that game, to make the Ohio State game that much bigger, to make a possibility of going to the Rose Bowl that much greater. But when you look at this team and what they have to look forward to, if they lose this week, there won't be anything riding on that Ohio State game. Yeah, Ohio State will have a chance to go to the Big Ten championship game, and you know, it'll be a play-in game at that point. But it is right now for Michigan, there is so much at stake that there's and they've done a great job. And when you talk, when I talk to the players, they talk about their the system that they have in place. Their you know, weekly schedule is such that they have things that they do on Monday. They have things they do on Tuesday, and it's all focused on getting ready for the team that they're playing on Saturday. They don't have time to necessarily look ahead. And that's one of the things that I don't think people really understand. College student athletes have very little free time. And if they're not preparing to play the game that they have that week, they're studying, or they're going somewhere on campus to talk to somebody about a class, about a test, about preparing for something. So there's just not a lot of time to look forward to what's coming next week. After Saturday, yeah, they'll get it. They'll ramp it up. They'll get a chance to prepare for Ohio, and we'll hear all the stories about the great Ohio State Michigan matchups. But until that point, their focus is completely and ultimately on Indiana.
It has to help emotionally that Saturday is senior day. So number five on today's seven from 77, this senior class, John, what has it meant to this program and to this university?
Well, I think when you go back to the Bo Schembechler days and the very first year when Bo started talking about those who stay will be champions, I think that when you look at this senior class and guys like Caron Higdon and Chase Winovich, who stayed, had a chance to go to the NFL but stayed because they saw the possibility of doing something special. Juwan Bushel-Beatty on the offensive line. There has been no group that has been brutalized over the last 4 years more than this offensive line. And some of those comments have come from yours truly, because the expectations at Michigan are so high. And for Juwan Bushel-Beatty to be a fifth-year guy, to be talked about on an offensive line that is a very good offensive line, and they're producing against Michigan State, against Wisconsin, against Penn State. They're protecting the quarterback. I think it's tremendous lessons to be learned. And we'll hear in just a little bit from Chase Winovich about his journey when he came here as a linebacker, then moved to tight end, and then back to defensive end. There, all of these guys have stories like that. Caron Higdon, who came back because he wanted to, one, get 1,000 yards. He was 6 yards shy last year. This year he's got his 1,000 yards, but more importantly, he wants a ring. When you come to Michigan, when we talked to these guys at the beginning of the year, they came here because they knew they were going to play schedules like we had this year. People were going to tell them, it's too hard. There's too much going on. You have to go to South Bend. You have to go to East Lansing. You have to go to Columbus. You got to play a Wisconsin who's dominated the Big Ten West. You got to play Trace McSorley and James Franklin at Penn State. And what they have going is just more than we have here at Michigan. All of those things have been told to Caron Higdon, Tyree Cannell, Grant Perry, Brandon Watson, Jared Wangler. We've seen him get in there. Joe Hewlett, a couple of legacy guys that have stayed, and they have the opportunity to be champions. So when I look at this senior class, I see a group of guys that have scratched and clawed and fought their way to giving themselves an opportunity to be a champion.
Number six, John, take us back to your senior day. What do you remember and what emotions went through? Was it different before that game versus some of the others you played at the Big House?
Yeah, it was emotional. You know, we didn't have senior day like they do now. You know, they didn't, you know, announce your name and you run out there and your parents are there. My parents were in the stands and we ran out of the tunnel like we do all the time. And I just knew that it was the last time that I was going to be able to run out and touch the banner. It was the last time that I would go out for a coin toss in Michigan Stadium as captain of the Michigan football team. There were a lot of last times in that trip out, and it was against Wisconsin, and we came away with a hard-fought victory. And it was – there's just so many things about that game that are so personal to me because – and as we'll hear from the guys, I asked them almost to the guy when I said – when you look back and you think about all of the games that you've had in Michigan Stadium, what's your fondest memory? And almost every guy talked about their first game, about running out and touching the banner the first time. And I did the same thing. I ran out as a tight end. I was wearing number 85 at the time. And, you know, it was the Michael Westbrook catch in the end zone against Colorado. So it was a memorable game for all of Michigan fans. And I just remember what it felt like to finally realize a dream of coming out of the tunnel and seeing 100 and at that time 105,000 people cheering for Michigan. And so much happened over those 5 years. And then I run out against Wisconsin and I see everybody that was, you know, pretty much there when I started my journey, and they were there, the season ticket holders, the fans, the students, you know, for the most part, many of the same people had watched that whole journey. So there's a feeling of personal accomplishment, but there's also this feeling of community and what it meant to be a Michigan Wolverine and to be a member of the Michigan family.
And finally, number seven on today's seven from 77. I want to get your thoughts on a really cool clip from Monday night's Inside Michigan football show with head coach Jim Harbaugh. He talked about when he learned that senior day really mattered. I want to get your thoughts, John, on this clip after we play it.
I never really related to the senior day becoming a day where the parents come out on the field. And I mean, now everybody does it. Everybody has a senior day and you recognize the parents and the youngster and things like that. I was more like, I just wanted to think about the game. You know, that was the most important thing. But I got to tell you that as a parent, when Jay Harbaugh was playing football, you know, they had a senior day 2006 or so. I was coaching at USD and we weren't having a senior day 2004 to 2005. We didn't have a senior day. Cause I wasn't used to it. Wasn't used to having a senior day. It didn't make me a bad person. I didn't think, but, when I did go to that senior day for Jay's game and, as a parent walking out there and you stand there and you're recognized and, you get a jersey you get to take a picture out there. I mean, my heart was pounding, Brad. I was like, wow.
Come on,
this
you.
Is it. This is my son's last game as a high school football player. And then from then on, I was like, okay, this senior day is important. We gotta have a senior day.
John, I feel like senior day it's like wine. It gets better with age, and you hear it there from Coach Harbaugh.
It really does. And you know, I think one of the things Coach – would agree with me on, and I've had the opportunity this year, now that I'm around these guys on a daily basis, I see them in meetings, I see them at practice, I see them, you know, in the locker rooms before and after the game, and, you know, you see these kids, and for me, it's been, I see them and what they're trying to accomplish when they go to South Bend, and all of the struggles that they had this year. And I'm excited about being a part of these kids' lives that are true freshmen this year and seeing them grow over the course of 4 or 5 years. But there's so much that happens in a kid's life from the age of 18 to the age of 22 or 23 when they graduate. They come in and everybody thinks they have answers, and everybody thinks they're the greatest thing, you know, the God's gift to football. And there's trials and tribulations, there's ups and downs, and you fight through those things with the guys that you came in with. The guys, you know, the graduating class will always be a group of guys because they come in and they're in that freshman locker room, and they learn how to, you know, assimilate themselves into the Michigan football program by, you know, leaning on each other and trusting each other. And that's where, when you get to be a fourth or fifth year guy, those are the leaders of the football team, because you're never going to be closer than the guys that you came in with. And so you see these guys grow up, and all of a sudden, at the blink of an eye, it's over. And you're running out there for the last time. The coach is seeing these guys. You know, Caron Higdon will go out for his last coin toss. Tyreek Kinnell will go out for his last coin toss. And those are emotional moments for a coach, because he brought those guys here. He was the part of the reason those guys came to Michigan. And part, you know, in a large part of their success at Michigan has been the relationship between them and the coach, between them and their position coach. So there's just, it's the relationships that matter when it comes down to a moment like this. And to see those guys honored, and I think it's the right thing to do, and it's special for their families, because their families have been there, you know, since the moment they were born. And all of a sudden, you know, at age, whatever it is, 7, 8, 10, 15, they develop this dream of playing major college football. Then they pick the program, and the coach and the parents and the brothers and sisters and friends and family are there for the whole thing, and everybody experiences it. It's a very unique and situation, because not every kid gets to do it. Not every kid that comes to Michigan makes it to senior day, and that's what makes it even more special. Is some guys can't handle the pressure. Some guys find a different place to go, and there's nothing wrong with that, other than the fact that those guys that make it for 4 or 5 years, it's a special event, and it needs to be marked.
And John, you had a chance to catch up with 4 of those seniors who not only made it to senior day, but they have done so thriving in this program and helping the Wolverines reach some pretty exciting heights this season.
Yeah, I did. And I had a chance to sit down with Caron Higdon, Grant Perry, Chase Winovich, Tyreek Kinnell. And you know what? I'm not going to spoil it, but let's start off with Caron. And he's going to tell you about his journey and what this final game means to him. And I'll pick up after Tyreek Kinnell tells us his story. And we'll answer some questions after these guys. Captain Caron Higdon joins us again, and Captain, 9 wins in a row. What does that mean on your senior year?
It means a lot, you know. We're 1 win above where we left off last year, so that's a great feeling. We've been able to regroup and redeem ourselves from that, but it gives us the momentum and confidence to continue to keep this ball rolling.
How much of this season is what you came back for?
Every single part of it. There's not one part that I can look down and say, hey, you know, I regret this. You know, I don't regret my decision at all. And if I knew this was what it was going to be, you know, I would have jumped on it ASAP.
1,000-yard back. That's pretty impressive. Congratulations.
Thank you.
What does that I know that at this time of the year you're not thinking about personal accomplishments.
Right.
But it's a hell of a job.
For sure.
What's it mean to you?
It means everything. You know, that's a hard accomplishment to have here at the University of Michigan. I think there's only a handful of guys who've done it. And to be able to say that, you know, I'll go down in the books as one of those guys is incredible. You know, that's not something that, you know, you typically think of when you're coming here as a freshman. But to see that, say that I've been able to do it, you know, it's something that I'll live with for the rest of my life.
Now, if I can, you know, turn back the clock just a little bit, the day that you're going to commit, if I'm not mistaken, you were headed to Iowa.
I was headed to Iowa.
What made you flip to Michigan?
I think I just saw the opportunity. Similar to me deciding to come back, I saw the opportunity. I saw that there was a chance for me to make a difference in my life and the people who support me lives. You know, my daughter, my family, and, you know, with the network Michigan has, the academic accolades that Michigan has, the football team, the football coach, the meaning behind the University of Michigan was something that I knew can be life-changing, and it was something that I had to have.
Every once in a while when, you know, when I'm sitting there at night, I'll play the what-if game, and, you know, this would be more of a if I hadn't. Did you ever sit there and think, if I hadn't made that switch, or if I hadn't made that change, what would my life be like right now?
I'm a big believer in faith, and I think that regardless of what I decided, I think I would have made it the right decision. You know, I'm a big believer that it's not the decision that's right or wrong, it's mm-hmm. whether you make it right or wrong. And I think either way, I would have attacked it with the same mindset of making it the right decision. However, I think that coming to Michigan definitely put me in a different spotlight and category to succeed in life than as if I would have chose, you know, Iowa.
You've partially answered this question already, but what does Michigan mean to you?
Michigan means everything. You know, I now bleed, you know, maize and blue. You know, I didn't know much about Michigan when I was growing up, you know, or even going to college. And I didn't know the tradition, the history, the meaning. But now being a part of the Maize and Blue family, I bleed it. You know, that's my blood. And, you know, it's something that I love dearly, and it's personal to me almost like a kid.
What's been your favorite moment in the Big House as a Wolverine?
I think my favorite moment was the first time I walked through that tunnel. That's something that, you know, you don't ever get back. It's like walking down the aisle on wedding day.
What game was it?
And that was Oregon State.
Yeah.
I believe. My first home game was Oregon State. And walking through that tunnel, you know, you're nervous. You've never seen so many people in vicinity at one time. You got all mixed emotions. Your head's spinning. You're just hearing the noise. And you look up and hear the crowd roar while you run out and go hit that blue banner.
Well, yours was a win. Mine was a loss. We played Colorado, and that was when Michael Westbrook caught that ball. I don't even remember who the quarterback was now. I don't even want to think about it. But that's a moment that, you know, and I ask a bunch of guys, and, you know, we'll talk to a bunch of guys that are seniors on this podcast, and that's the common answer that they've given is that first time that they ran out, touched the banner. Now, having said that, what type of emotions do you think you'll have, or what will you be anticipating your emotions will be on Saturday?
I think there'll be a lot of high emotions. You know, I think reality hitting you and you knowing that it'll be your last game in the Big House is you know, it's mind-boggling. But still got a job to do on Saturday, and that's to, you know, play my best game and to win out. And I think after that, everything will sink out. You know, some tears might come out. And, you know, I may stay in the stadium to 2-3 o'clock in the morning.
We won't have a video on you. It's okay to shed a tear.
But, you know, I think beforehand it'll just be a lot of mixed emotions. And after the game, I'll let it all out.
When you think about where this team is at now, 9-1, control of your own destiny and the Big Ten East, the Big Ten, and in playoff talk, how far has this team come from week one?
We've come a long way. You know, it's incredible that week one people were already counting us down, knocking us down. And that was just a stumbling block that we hit and that we needed to hit. You know, it gave us, you know, our team a reality check. And I think it's gave us the lift and motivation as well to go and pursue the season that we've pursued. And it's just going to keep rolling.
What do you guys need to do against Indiana to get a win?
I think we got to play our game. We got to play disciplined football. I think that, you know, we got to attack this game like it's a national championship game. And we just got to, you know, stay in control and just do our job.
Well, I appreciate you stopping by today.
No, I appreciate you, man.
Enjoy it on Saturday.
Thank you, boss.
Grant Perry joins us on In the Trenches. Grant, 9-1 in the driver's seat. What's it mean? I mean, you've been here now 4 years. You've seen the ups and downs. What's it mean to be in this position right now?
You know, like a lot of guys have said, you know, we control our own destiny. You know, we got to just, you know, win out. You know, and just, you know, keep going, keep getting motivated. I was, you know, kind of around this spot 2 years ago. But then we ran into Iowa, and then, you know, we really didn't control our own destiny. And it was kind of, you know, watching other teams, hopefully one team loses here, one team loses there, you know, but we're in the driver's seat and, you know, we just got to keep driving.
What's different about this team than the 2016 team? Not that there was anything wrong, but you mentioned the loss to Iowa and it just didn't work out. What's different or what makes you think that this team could run the table?
You know, I just think, I think this team, you know, has got a lot of guys that just really share a common goal. You know, they want the Big Ten, you know, they want to go to the Natty. And not to knock anything off from, you know, 2016 team, you know, there's a lot of draft picks. You know, those guys were, you know, really athletically talented individually. But this team, you know, they really share a common goal. And I really see, you know, a group of guys wanting to win something.
This will be your last time you get a chance to run out in the big house. You started your career out in Utah. What's changed or how much has happened in the last 4 years for you as an individual?
You know, a lot's changed. You know, I've gone through, you know, a couple coaches on offense. You know, just I've gotten stronger, faster, you know, just little things like that, you know, different playbooks. It's been a wild 4 years, a great 4 years. You know, I wouldn't want to be anywhere else. You know, I love this place, and I'm glad, you know, I got to, you know, experience the 4 years here.
When you think about yourself, whether it's on the field or off the field, how much growth have you had at the University of Michigan and in this football program?
Oh, man, exponentially, man. I remember, you know, my freshman year, I kind of was like the little class clown in the meeting rooms, and now I'm, you know, telling, you know, some of the receivers, you know, hey, listen up, you know, Coach Mack's got a point to make here. So, you know, it's you know, guys are calling me the old head now, so I kind of, you know, I'm starting to feel it.
When they bring in a new receiver coach for your senior year, first of all, what are you thinking when you've got to prove to a new coach what you can do?
Yeah. You know, at first I was like, oh, goodness, like, you know, I've got to start it all over again. But then once you really got to know Coach Mack, you know, there was no bumps or bruises. It was right to it. You know, he's a great guy, great coach, and, you know, we were all excited to have him.
What's he added to your game?
He's just added, you know, small things. He's big. He really likes, you know, the small things, the small details, and you know, that translates, you know, and that makes the bigger things happen. So,
have you thought much about Saturday? It just being your final trip in the big house.
I've given it a little thought. I'm gonna probably be sad, but you know, happy at the same time. It's gonna be a mix of emotions.
What would a win mean to not just for this team, but just your last trip in the big house? What would it mean to you to get that victory?
Oh man, I got to go out with a W, you know, at the stadium. I can't take a loss, but you know, it would mean the world to me. I saw the guys, you know, when it was snowing and we played Indiana at the big house. I think it was 2 years ago or last year. They were just so happy, and you know, I hope I can get that feeling as well.
And then the guys that you came in with, you know, it's how tight is that group of guys that came in with you as freshmen?
Yeah, you know, we're really tight. You know, just because you know, our group, you know, is kind of, you know, windowing and off. You know, some guys are transferred. Some guys, you know, aren't here anymore. You know, but we're really tight because, you know, we're a small class. And you know, we're just trying to, you know, take this Michigan team out on top.
When you hear the term, what Bo brought to Michigan, those who stay will be champions. And you talk about some of the guys that have transferred, some of the guys that have left the program. What does that mean to your class?
You know, I didn't really, you know, I understood that, you know, those will stay, will be champions. And then, you know, I'm like, okay. But now I'm really starting to see it. You know, guys in my class, you know, weren't patient enough. They were, you know, oh, like, I want to win a big ring. I want to get a ring. You know, I want to go to the big bowl games. And now we really have that opportunity. And it's starting to become in fruition. And I see it. And, you know, it could be something special.
Well, none of us would be happier than me to see you guys get that ring. So best of luck in the last few weeks.
Well, thank you. Thank
Thanks
you very
for coming
much.
On.
Yeah, of course. Thank you for having me.
Chase Winovich joins us on In the Trenches. Chase, you're getting ready for your final trip down the tunnel. What type of feelings do you have when you hear that?
Yeah, John, thanks for having me on again. The last time going out the tunnel was definitely going to be special. That last time seeing the team, and just as you come out, just feeling the electricity of the crowd, it's going to be amazing. In a way, you know, don't look forward to this day because, you know, you kind of loathe the fact that it's going to be your last time, but it's an honor to go through this program for 5 years. And so, yeah, I have mixed emotions about the whole deal.
When you came in, I mean, you've changed positions, you've changed sides of the ball. I mean, it's just if you can, just tell us a little bit about what this 5 years has meant to you and the obstacles that you've had to overcome.
Yeah, quite the journey it's been now. We've been, it seems like, all over the country on this one. But yeah, just coming in here. Yeah, coming in here as a linebacker. And it's just like, there's so, you know, on the surface, like, there's challenges that, you know, a lot of college football players face some of these. And but on the surface, there's challenges. It's like, just positionally, it's like, mm-hmm. you know, going to tight end. And but like, even coming in as a linebacker and going about it, it's just, there's so many battles that have been fought on the day to day, just looking back. It's incredible that, you know, not that I stuck it out, just, you know, that almost that I just, like, you know, I've made it to the point where I am, because it's just like, you know, I still remember stepping on the scale freshman year when I was playing linebacker, and, you know, Coach Wellman was freaking out. I mean, he's like, how do you want to be, you know, this is our punishment workout for not, it's called a Friday morning get right before our games. And he's freaking out on me. He's like, how do you want to be a linebacker in the Big Ten? And you don't even weigh 200 pounds. And so he was making me chug water bottles. And I just remember, like, I got off the scale and I had reached, like, 203 or something, you know, a number that he had made up, and stepping out the scale and just throwing up, because I had chugged, like, probably, like, 10 bottles.
And what do you tip the scales at now?
And so now I tip the scale, like, 255. So we've come a long way. And just, like, so many little battles like that that just, you know, that I struggle with from the day to day. And then, you know, Coach Harbaugh comes in, and my weight is getting better, but he switches me to tight end, a position I never was, and just going. Then we go into the next year, and I'm trying to get a spot on special teams, and I remember, like, begging. I had pulled my hamstring, and they had tryouts, so I couldn't really run, but I participated because I was like, I gotta try, you know. But I couldn't run full speed, so I didn't look as fast, and so I didn't get a spot on there. So I remember trying to beg the special teams coach, Coach Baxter, at the time, and I drafted up a letter, basically just writing out, like, reasons why I think I deserve a spot on kickoff. Like, that's just how bad I wanted to.
You still have that letter?
I still have the letter. Yeah.
When you look back, I mean, how did you end up at defensive end then?
So after that, you know, that year when I was playing tight end, it was December of that year. And I had gone to Coach Jay, and, you know, Coach Jay Harbaugh was our position coach for tight ends at the time. And I had brought it up to his attention, saying, you know, like, what are your thoughts on me switching back to defensive end? Like, our depth is back and better now. And I just think that's, you know, really my calling. And he said, you know, I'm going to talk to Coach Harbaugh, and we're going to get back to you. And so they called me up, and they talked to Coach Madison, and they got feedback from several coaches, and they made the switch back. And so the next day, I think we had a practice, and I didn't know a lick of the defense. I didn't know, you know, any of the play calls or nothing. And they put me out there, and it was just pure bliss. The only other time I could really experience, like, that freedom and happiness was, you know, when I was, like, skydiving. Yeah. So it was, yeah, something else for sure.
So you go from linebacker to tight end to back to defense and defensive end, and you're one of the best defensive ends in the country. When some of these young guys come in here as freshmen and they've got, you know, all the hopes and dreams that we all came into Michigan with, if one of them were to ask you about your journey, what would be the one thing that you might tell them?
See, it was different for me because despite everything that I had went through, I never lost that faith that I knew how to play football. Like, I think I'm a decently talented individual at, like, most anything I put my mind to. But, like, especially with football, it's like I knew, like, despite, you know, when I was seventh string on the tight end depth chart and, you know, a backup scout team tight end, I never had lost that faith that, you know, I could play. So for me, it was just almost like a matter of time in my head. And I just, it's sad to see, like, I think some of these kids, you know, they don't necessarily have that, you know, that belief that it's a matter of time. You know, it's like they, everything now, especially, like, with the way college football is changing, just, like, you know, kids are playing as a freshman, and so, like, they see a lot of their peers. Like, I was lucky because, like, a lot of the kids I was with were, you know, were redshirted, And so it's like things are just, I think, a little different nowadays. But, yeah, I would say you just got to be patient because and you got to hold belief in yourself and your abilities because, you know, like no one else will.
And, you know, when I watch you play, and I've got to be honest with you, it's a joy to watch, you know, Devin Bush play because he's so natural at that position. And I watch some of these other guys. But when I watch you, I love because you play with such an intensity on every play. And I'll give you an example. And you already know this, but I'm really talking to our fans. Is they tried that trick play against Rutgers where the quarterback hands the ball off or, you know, flips the ball and then he runs out for a pass. Well, you know, he's wide open, but I see Chase Winovich chasing him down 20 yards downfield. Is part of that struggle that you went with in terms of positions or the daily struggle that you talk about, does that influence you as to how hard you play every play?
I'd say like two, you know, first off, it's probably just the way I am. Like I've always been kind of, you know, a competitor in, you know, my eyes. Like I've always been that person that's like just absolutely hated to lose. You know, nobody likes to lose, but
right.
Just for me, it just always felt like something different. I didn't matter if I was playing, you know, a little kid, I would just, you know, I wouldn't be happy about losing to him. The other thing is I remember back when I was in high school, so I was going into high school, it was eighth grade at the time, going into high school. That summer, we were up at basketball practice, and where I was about to head up, and my brother was back home for some reason. And he goes to me, he said, like, Chase, like, listen, and this is like, you know, it was just me and him in the living room. He's like, they could take a lot of things away from you. They could take away your height. They could take away your strength. They could take away your speed. They could talk about this or that. He's like, and he tapped me on the heart. He said, what they'll never take away from you is the way that you can, you know, your effort and your will. He's like, don't let them ever. And he was just saying, like, that should be your focal point. Like, not saying that it was the case for me. He's like, they can never take that away from you. And that's really stuck with me is like, you know, even if I had a terrible game, like position wise and stuff, like I at least want to know that, like, you know, at the end of the day, when I look myself in the mirror, that I tried, and that I gave it all. So that's why I'm always trying to run people down and, hit somebody. So,
well, that's the whole point of football.
Exactly. And have fun with it too.
Somebody, yeah. So I've got Chase Winovich here. We're talking about his final game in the Big House, and I want to talk a little bit about this football season. For a guy that hates to lose, this has been a pretty good season. I mean, 9 in a row, leading into this Indiana game. What would it mean to be able to finish this season, just a regular season, at 11-1?
I mean, it would capitalize my career here. You know, thinking about coming back last year, it was just like I knew that wasn't the Michigan that I wanted to leave. You know, that wasn't the note. And I, you know, I almost feel bad for the people that were here during those, you know, the last decade almost, where it's like there's a lot of years where there was great players on it and people that loved Michigan. It just wasn't where it, you know, it needed to be. And I'm just so thankful to be in a position where, as of right now, like where the trajectory lies, and
you have the opportunity.
Things that are in our control, you know, it's like we have the opportunity, and it's just like to have that chance is something that's so special, something you really don't want to let it slip. So at this point, I'm gonna do everything in my power to make sure it doesn't.
What do you think separates this team from the previous four that you've been on? That just, you've got a lot of talent, and there's been a lot of great guys, but right now, this is the first time in your career that you've been in a position to win a championship.
I think there's two things. I think firstly, it's the most complete Michigan team that I've been a part of. And not saying that other teams didn't have, you know, good offenses.
It's just,
good offenses or, you know, good components, exactly. It was just, I think, like, where we're at in terms of playing together, like, level of play on both sides of the ball, including special teams, is just the highest that it's been. I just think that's a huge factor, you know.
One of the things I've wondered, because, you know,
and the attitude of our team is also different. The grittiness and the anger and the frustration, I think, is kind of just boiled to a head, in the sense that, you know, we're I talked about this jokingly, how, you know, last year it felt like people were kind of just beating up on us. Like, they were, like, Penn State was laughing. They were trying to run the score up with 5 seconds left. Antics like that. I just felt like they were, you know, almost taking our lunch money. And so yeah. It's like this year is like, you know, collectively, I think going back to December, guys are just fed up of it. And we just wanted our, you know, in that sense, wanted our lunch money back. But we didn't just want to just beat those teams. Like, we wanted them, you know,
to feel
our, you know, our pain and our frustration that, you know, as a program we've been having, for me personally, as a player for the last 5 years, but just as a decade or so of just like pent up. So like, we're back, and yeah. we wanted to make a statement almost, and I think we're on our way to do that.
Well, I'll end it on that because that was pretty darn good. But at about 4 o'clock on the Saturday after Thanksgiving, I'll be looking for you because I think it's going to be a pretty special moment.
Yes, it will. So,
thanks for stopping by.
Thank you for having me.
Tyree Kittle joins us on In the Trenches. Tyree, you're preparing for your final home game at Michigan Stadium. What type of feelings does that bring up in you?
I would say a little bittersweet. It hasn't hit me all the way. I know it's definitely going to hit me walking down that tunnel and going out there to touch the banner one last time right before the game against Indiana. And I'm just thankful and blessed to have this opportunity to be here these last 4 years growing up, this being my dream school. And I'm just excited to be in this situation, especially when we're winning like this. And it's going to be very emotional for me probably right when we get there.
And we'll talk about the win in just a few minutes. But over the course of your 4 years now here at Michigan, what's been the most memorable moment or game in Michigan Stadium?
My most memorable, I would have to say my first time I had to play. Yeah. And my first time I got to actually suit up, and I knew I was playing my freshman year against Northwestern. That was such an exciting feeling, knowing that I was going out there touching the banner and I was actually going to be in the stadium contributing on the team. And that was very exciting for me as well. And there's probably a lot more, but just the top of my head is the first game when I was actually playing against Northwestern.
How much has changed between that moment and this week?
So much has changed. I had like a small little role in that game. I was only playing special teams. You know, now I'm going to be walking out one last time down this tunnel as a captain, as a starter, as a key guy on the defense. And I'm just so thankful to be in that situation, and I'm excited and definitely going to be a little emotional.
And when you were elected this year, you know, knowing that this was your last year and you're elected captain, what has it meant for you to have the type of season that you guys have had so far? I mean, you guys started off, stubbed your toe against Notre Dame, but you've run off 9 straight wins. What's it meant for you this year?
It means a lot. I mean, if you come in college and you obviously want to do good every single year, but if you had to pick one year to be good in and put yourself in a position to, you know, win championships, you're going to pick your senior year, your last year. And this has been one of the best years of my life, you know, being around these guys and, you know, getting closer with them every day. Everyone's having fun in the locker room. You know, winning's always fun. And I'm just great to be in this position as a senior and controlling our own destiny.
When you look around, not just your room, but the defensive room and the team room, and you look at the guys that you came in with 4 years ago, you know, some have transferred, some have fallen by the wayside. What's it mean for you to have that group of guys just stay together and grow together to this point?
We've definitely shrunk, but I mean the key guys that came in my class, you know, Karan Higdon, Zach Gentry, John Runyon, Grant Newsom still on board with us. Hopefully I'm not missing too many guys, Nolan, Grant Perry, but those guys, they mean so much to me. You know, we came in, you know, with a new coaching change, and, you know, when Michigan was kind of down and hurting, and we stuck to our word, and we came in and fought through everything. This would mean so much for our senior class to, you know, come in and win championships.
When you look at the game now against Indiana, and we know it's the senior day, all of those things, but so much more rides on this game. You guys control your own destiny. Mm-hmm. How much pressure do you guys feel going into this Indiana game?
After everything we've been through, I don't feel like we have pressure. Our confidence is extremely high, which we take it as a good thing. We don't overlook any opponent. We're going to practice extremely hard this week and come out Saturday and execute the game plan as good as we can, like we've been doing these last 8-9 weeks, and just keep the ball moving, and that's what we've been trying to do, and we're excited to have one more opportunity in the Big House this year.
When you look at where this defense is and how much it's – every week it's – you know, everybody says, well, how can they improve? But there's always a way that you guys find a way to improve as a defense. You lead the Big Ten in so many categories. You lead the nation in so many categories. Is that sustainable over the last 3 weeks? I'm going to say 3 weeks of the season.
Definitely. I mean, I definitely think we could keep it moving like that and probably get better in some areas. You know, there's some areas that we do need to improve in. And
what are some of those areas? I called you on it.
Yeah, you did. That was a good one.
Because people ask me, they're like, how can this defense that leads in so many categories, they're so good on third down. I mean, what you guys did against Penn State and Michigan State, I mean, I think it was only 3 third downs you allowed to convert. I tell them, I'm like, I don't know. But then all of a sudden you guys do something like, you don't allow a first down in the first half. Or, there's just different things that you guys keep coming up with where I'm like, I don't know until the game's over, and I can look at it and then say, okay, yeah, that's how they improved.
I guess the answer to your question is, keep them out the end zone. All those games we've been playing extremely well, but we haven't had a shutout yet.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that would probably be the biggest thing. Michigan State, we're kind of put in a bad position. We let Rutgers off the hook with a big run and, had a miss assignments in that play. But, I mean, every game we could improve on something. You know, we're not perfect, but we're trying to get there as close as we can.
When you look at Indiana, what type of challenges do they – present to you guys, because they played us tough, especially over the last 3 years.
The last 3 years there's been 2 overtime games, and when they came here a couple years ago, I think we only won by like 10. They bring an extreme challenge to us, and they play us hard every single year. We're looking forward to this matchup. We know they're going to play hard. We have a lot at stake, so we know we have to win this game, and they have a great offense, great defense, and it's going to be exciting.
Well, I appreciate it. I appreciate you stopping by.
Appreciate it.
Well, a big thank you to Karan Higdon, Grant Perry, Chase Winovich, Tyree Kinnell for stopping by and sharing part of their week with us and some of their memories. And it's going to be an emotional day, and I don't think those guys will totally understand until they run out of the tunnel, until they experience senior day, and then at the final whistle, and they have to walk back up the tunnel for the final time. I think that's really when the emotion's going to hit, and a lot of memories will be thought about and made all at the same time. But let's talk about some questions. We sent out a tweet earlier this week and asked for some questions about Indiana, about Ohio, about the playoffs. And Brian, who responded?
We got plenty. First off, great job on the interviews. Those guys are such great representatives for this program, for this university. Really cool. So good work by them and good work by you, John. A reminder to our fans, you can weigh in at any point on Twitter at JohnJansen77, via email MichiganWolverinesRadio@gmail.com, and via text 734-328-1760. Thanks to Lars and John for their kind words via email. Also, I encourage everyone to check out John's Twitter. He quote tweeted a video from Rachel I believe her son giving directions to Columbus. John, did you beam out with pride when you saw that video?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's we raise our kids in the way they should go, and there are some great Wolverine families who allow their kids to listen to In the Trenches and allow me to influence them and make them better Wolverines. And that is when you hear the directions to Columbus and they're broadcast by a young Michigan man. It gives you a great warm feeling in my heart, and I know that every Wolverine, if you haven't had a chance to look at it, I retweeted it. Go to my Twitter handle. It's at JohnJansen77, and you can have a chance to view a great young Michigan man.
Just curious, John, if someone were to ask your children how to get to Columbus, would all of them give that response?
They would. It might be a little more colorful. but, yes, they all know directions to Columbus. And if you don't know and you don't want to take the time to hear it from our young Michigan man, it is south till you smell it and east till you step in it. And that's how I'm getting to Columbus, and that's how every Wolverine will know how to get to Columbus, Ohio.
Follow-up question. How young were your children when they knew this?
I believe it wasn't their first word. Their first words were "Go Blue," and their second words were probably the directions to Columbus.
All right. So if you'd like to submit John Jansen for Father of the Year, we'll have that for you in our next edition.
Yes.
All right. Questions for John Jansen. Andrew via Twitter. Did your emotions help or hurt you to begin the game on Senior Day, those first few drives?
Oh, emotion in football can never be a bad thing. And the only time it becomes a bad thing is if you allow them to ruin your focus. And a lot of times emotions, they can be used for good or bad. And for me, it was always one of those – football was always an emotional game for me. And it didn't matter if it was, you know, my first time playing against Virginia – if it was my last home game against Wisconsin or any game against Ohio State, emotions are a part of the game of football. And if you're not an emotional guy, chances are you're going to be an average football player, because this is a game of momentum. It's a game of emotion. And you've got to use every ounce of energy that you have to get that victory. Victories are hard to come by. And you got to let that emotion not just empower you, but those guys around you, because like I said, you come in as a group, you come in as a team, and you go out there on the football field as a team. And sometimes I got to lift my partner up. Sometimes he's got to lift me up. And that's what emotion can do. So no, this is going to be a game where I think for the Michigan seniors, for this Michigan football team, the guys that aren't seniors are going to go out there and play for the guys that are, because they want to set them out with a victory. The guys that are seniors, they want to go out on top. And everybody wants to go to Columbus at 10-1 with an opportunity to go to Indianapolis and play for a Big Ten championship game. So emotion is going to be a huge part of this football game.
Mike via text, what does our field goal unit need to do to get back on track?
They just got to make field goals. I don't think it's the blocking. I don't know it's the snap. It's just our kickers need to have the confidence that to go out there and just – kick like they do in the pregame. And the difference is that in pregame, there's no pressure. All right, you're just out there kicking. And we saw Quinn Nordine kick a 70-yarder. Obviously, the wind was at his back. But, you know, when you have that confidence in the pregame to go out there and kick, you know, make kicks like that, all you have to do is translate that to the playing field when it matters most. And so it's just a matter of confidence. Go out there, know that, hey, And you can tell yourself whatever you want to do. We all, as players, we all have these stories that go on in our head of you know, what I'm going to do to this guy across from me, because maybe I think he said something about my girlfriend or my mom or something like that, and you use it as motivation. Quinn Nordine and our kicking group needs to go out there and think, I'm the best in college football. I am the best at what I do, and I'm going to go and prove it again right now.
I think one of the most valuable things in this game on Saturday would be for Quinn Nordine to make a field goal, because Michigan has thrived in so many areas, but John, Quinn Nordine has not made a field goal since the Wisconsin game. Hasn't had a lot of chances, but to get out there in a real game and do it, that you want to score touchdowns, but I think getting a field goal at some point somewhere here on Saturday would be really helpful going to Columbus, knowing you've got that in your back pocket.
Well, it'll be helpful going to Columbus. It'll be helpful in the Big Ten championship game. And where it's going to be most helpful is if we play Alabama, if we play Clemson, if we play Notre Dame, if we play Georgia, whoever it is that we play in the playoffs, it is going to be a nip and tuck game. And every point is going to be magnified. Every chance that you have to score points is going to be magnified. And you have to take advantage when you have it.
Via DNB on Twitter, can you talk about the challenges or difficulties that an offensive line has when they run both a zone blocking scheme and a gap blocking scheme?
Well, you just have to be focused, and you have to understand what the rules of the play are that you're running. And if it's a zone blocking scheme, there's a set of rules, and you have to know the running back behind you. There's a certain flow that he has to that. If it's a zone, or if it's a read, or if it's a gap or a power play, there are different ways to run different plays. And those all become a part of who you are, so that when you go out there, you're not thinking, is this a zone? Is this a read? Is this a gap play? You're just executing. And so, no, I don't think there's an extreme challenge in necessarily deciphering those two plays. You've done it so many times in practice. You've done it so many times at this point through 10 games that you just go out there and you perform the play how you've been coached to do it, how you've done it before, and you just let instinct take over at this time of the football season.
And finally, Caleb via Twitter, do you think this game against Indiana will be closer than what it should be with OSU looming next weekend? Caleb, thank you for the question and for teeing up John Jansen, giving him the fuel he requires to give us our Indiana pump-up speech. John?
Do I think the Indiana Hoosiers and Peyton Ramsey are going to be a challenge for this Michigan football team? Do I think that offensive coordinator Mike DeBoard, who was at Michigan when we won a national championship, do I think he has something special for us? You better believe he does. Do you think that Nick Sheridan, quarterback at Michigan, who is now a coach at Indiana, Mike Hart, one of the great running backs in Michigan football history, do you think those guys have something special and would love to come in on Senior Day and create a new memory for them in Michigan Stadium? Sure, I believe it. But you know what's going to happen? Mike Hart, Nick Sheridan, Mike DeBoard, they're going to go home, and the memory they're going to have is of a loss in Michigan Stadium, is of getting demoralized because Michigan football is going to hand that ball off to Caron Higdon, senior captain, time and time again. And he's going to get 4 and 5 yards. Then he's going to pop one for about 15. Then he's going to go 95 yards for a touchdown run. And then all of a sudden, our defense is going to be on the field. And Chase Winovich, one of the most aggressive and dogged players in college football, is going to be after Peyton Ramsey. He's going to be running for his life. And if he escapes Chase Winovich, there is Devin Bush and Devin Gill or Tyree Kinnell or a host of Michigan football players that will greet him anytime he has the football. He's going to be shaking in his shorts all game long. He won't know whether to throw it, whether to keep it. There may be times where he actually takes a knee because he says, oh my goodness, I don't know what to do and I don't want to get hit. This Michigan football team is going to take the field and dominate from the very first play. They're going to kick the ball off. They're going to receive the ball, and the special teams are going to have the first opportunity to make their stamp on this football game, and it's going to be a dominating stamp, and they're going to continue to stomp down this Indiana Hoosier football team, because you know what we have coming up next week? We got a team that matters. We got a team that matters to Michigan, because it's not because it's Ohio. It's because they are the next team in our way for a Big Ten championship. They're the next team in our way on our pursuit for a national championship. And those goals are bigger than the Indiana Hoosiers. Those goals are bigger than the Ohio Buckeyes. Those goals are bigger than the Northwestern Kitty Cats that we'll face in the Big Ten championship game. So gear up, because this one's going to be special. This one's going to be memorable for everybody that enters Michigan Stadium on Saturday. And we'll have a little bit more after the game on our post-game podcast of In the Trenches.
Thanks for listening to this week's edition of In the Trenches with John Jansen. In the Trenches with John Jansen is an exclusive presentation of IMG, America's home for college sports.